take our book of Romans. We've been to Romans chapter 1. So let's turn, please, to Romans chapter 1. And the last Sunday we got down to verse 18. So we'll begin with Romans 1:19 today. But let's have our numbers for people who want to call us. Simply call us at 856-261-9018. Or give us an email, questions@bftbc.org. questions@bftbc.org. All right, Romans 1. Let's begin reading verses 19, 20, and 21, starting with verse 19 together. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but they became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. By verse 19, speaking here of the probably the heathen nations years ago, that which they, because that which they may be known of God is manifest. What are the things that may be known of God that are manifest to the heathen, do you think?
Everything. When we see the trees growing.
Right, trees grow, creation, trees growing, all these things. Did the heathen have the Bible?
No.
No, they didn't have the Bible. But they did have the relation of God, the creation and all the things that He related. And did that just come by accident?
No.
Anybody even without a Bible, they could see that it had to be by designer, by creator. So that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Then it says that God has showed it unto them. And again, how did He show it?
In the creation.
In the creation, the sun, the moon, the stars, all these other things. Hi, Faith. Come in, Evan. Yes, here in Romans chapter 1, Faith, and verse number 19. Verse 1:19 of Romans. All right? You'll be all right? Okay, Evan. You got your Bible, you can't, or I'll do see if you want. All right, Romans 1:19. Showed unto them from the creation. Then in verse number 20, the invisible things of Him. What does invisible mean?
Can't see it.
Can't see it, absolutely unseen. Now think of Him. What does of Him mean? Of God. In other words, it was God that gave these invisible things. It didn't come by accident or by evolution, so it's of Him. Said Dan.
But it says the invisible things are clearly seen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so usually you think of invisible, you can't see it.
Right, no, that's
true. You get to clearly see. Mm-hmm. You know, I was listening to a lecture recently about physics, and they brought up about water, how water is the only fluid. The guy attributed, they developed, but no one knows why, as far as the scientists did the community, can't give an explanation of why water is the only substance whose density increases when it freezes, and some decreases.
Mm-hmm.
I get that backwards? So they made some mistakes too themselves.
The density decreases.
Because the volume expands. Okay, the volume expands. So can you explain to me better? Please.
Basically, ice expands when it water expands and it freezes, but everything else.
Mercury, all the different things that are liquid.
It doesn't matter if they're
liquid. You're right. It doesn't matter if they're liquid or not. It doesn't matter what it is.
Okay, so
steel.
So what is your point you're making?
So the point, an invisible thing, a very small thing, is clearly seen by when they look at it and say, wait a minute, this is unusual. This doesn't fit the norm of what we think.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been, and there's all the different other things that could be, that the scientists look at and say, wait a second, this doesn't seem right. You know, this Big Bang theory doesn't seem right because if there was a Big Bang, things must have been in a tremendous order before the Big Bang. They could tell that by what they look at. You know, they could tell that. It's invisible. They may not understand it, but it's clearly seen to them.
Mm-hmm. Now, the word of means what? Here's that. Visible of Him. What's the of mean?
Belonging to.
Belonging to, or?
From.
Okay, from Him. In other words, according to this, who put those invisible things there? God Himself. God Himself, from Him. It's the source of it. From the creation of the world. Now, what does creation mean?
It's one. Beginning of the world.
From nothing, beginning of the world.
Figure it out yourself.
From nothing to everything. And what is that Latin phrase for nothing?
Ex nihilo,
from nothing. That was great. Now, do the evolutionists believe that?
No.
Yeah. No, but, yes,
Man can make things, but they cannot create them. They use already resources already made by
mm-hmm.
God,
yes.
and recreate something, and that's making it, but we're not creating anything.
Right, right. That's right. So the creation, so there's a Yvonne.
Next, ex nihilo.
Yes, next nihilo.
Hello, how are you?
No, ex nihilo. N-I-H-I-L-O. Next ex is from as ex, and
yeah,
nihilo is absolute nothing. Zero, zero, zero.
It's just close enough. Hello is close enough.
Ex nihilo.
Ex hello.
I just thought I could say something like that.
Let me repeat it once more on it. Ex
nihilo.
You got it. Perfect.
N-I-H-I-L-O. That's the only way that I can pronounce it.
All right. So the creation of the world, that God is from Him. Now, the invisible things are clearly seen. How can you see invisible things? What does that mean?
Understanding.
Understanding, that's part of it. What else?
Faith.
Now, let me ask you this. What are all things that are seen, this table up here, this microphone, this light, what are they made of?
Molecules.
What are molecules made of?
Atoms.
What are atoms made of?
Electrons, protons, and neutrons.
Now, can you see those with the naked eye?
Yeah.
No. Of course, with a microscope, you can see some of the small things, but the things are clearly seen, though they're invisible to the naked eye. Clearly seen. But the things that God created, they clearly see. Now, the last part of that, being understood by the things that are made. What does that mean? Understood.
His creation.
All right.
The people that are here on the earth, and perhaps even the animals to a small extent.
Uh-huh.
You know, they know the creation of Romans, it says in the book of Romans.
Mm-hmm. So some of the things are understood by the things that are made. In other words, you take things that man made, like telephone poles and church buildings and houses and chairs and things, that's one thing. But things that God made, sun, moon, stars, all the things, beautiful trees and creation, they're understood by the things that are made. Now, what are the things in verse 20 that are understood by the things that are made?
God's eternal power and Godhead.
Eternal power is one thing, God has another. All right, here we go. Questions at bfdbc.org, 856-261-9018. Yes, Stan and Lori from Texas. Good evening.
Good afternoon, Pastor Wayne. Big ways all there. Thank you for this afternoon Bible study. I did specifically want to call and thank you to Mrs. Wade for singing that beautiful gospel song about nothing but leaves with Master. It touched my heart. It was a great blessing. I want to thank her also, as well as you, and for those that truly do serve willingly and that you bear much fruit for God's kingdom. And lastly, Pastor, it reminded me and Dan of yesterday in Bible reading in Matthew chapter 13 about the different seeds, about the parable about the seeds. And in verse 8 said, but others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Pastor Wade, you, Mrs. Wade, certainly have brought forth 100-fold times that. So thank you all for your example to people like Dan and I. So a big wave to you, and we're continuing with today's study.
Amen. Thanks. Wave to Lori and Dan Agee from Texas.
Good.
Thank you, Lori. I appreciate that. And Lord bless you folks there. All right. So we were talking about, forget what we were talking about. Oh, yeah, the two things that were clearly seen. First, what does eternal power mean? First of all, what's power? Why would it be eternal?
Everlasting.
Everlasting. And power means what?
Strength
and all of it. See, in other words, a dynamic power. What is it?
I said ability.
Ability, all right. So God is a powerful God. Why does this show the things that are invisible, things that are made? Why does that show that He's powerful?
We can't even begin to comprehend.
Can't even begin to comprehend it. Now that bus is out there. I hope it picks up Paul. He's out there.
Yeah, he's still off the bus.
Oh, good. So that's fine. I know the bus went this way and I came back this way.
My mother-in-law's not mad at me, but he's like, just trying with her.
He's going to go see his mother, I guess.
Okay, all right.
All right, so because of the creation, that reveals, first of all, his power. Can man make a sun?
No.
Can he make stars?
No.
Out of paper. But the powerful, this shows his power. Secondly, it shows his Godhead. What do you think that would imply?
That
is Godhead. What did you find, Anne?
Dunamis.
Dunamis, power. Oh, thank you. She's the Greek scholar back there.
Dunamis.
She's got the Greek book. You got the Greek book. She knows where to find it. Dynamite, dunamis, power, is eternal power. What does the Godhead refer to? Yeah, well, excuse me, Tammy.
The Trinity?
The Trinity, yes, I would think the Trinity's there. What does the Trinity mean? What does that mean?
Three in one essence.
Who are they?
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
So, the Godhead. And so, he can see this power and he's guided. In other words, that he's God. And there's no question. It's not simply man who made all these things. Nor is it the scientists that dreamed it all up. No, it wasn't a big bang. The last part of verse 20, so that they are without excuse. Who's a they refer to?
The unbelievers.
Unbelievers, maybe any of us. Probably the heathen, that early chapter Romans 1, it's usually the heathen before anybody came along, and had it before Abraham, all those heathen people. Without excuse, what does that mean?
They have no excuse not to understand that there's a God.
All right, no excuse. Understand that he's eternal power, he's Godhead. In other words, can the one who made everything else in this world, all things in this world, can we worship him by making things that we make and bow down to them?
No.
That's impossible. That's silly. When we make something and bow down to it, isn't that a little stupid? But when God made everything, we can worship the Lord and his eternal power and Godhead is there without excuse. In other words, God's going to hold them responsible for living up or not living up to the light that they have. Now, we have much more light today. We have the scriptures, but even back there, and I'm sure some of them did live up to the light, and they were not cursed. Then in verse 21, when they knew God, what does that mean, to know God? When they knew God.
A relationship with him.
Relationship, and know his power, know his eternal power of Godhead. So they knew. When they, who's they refer back again to?
Well,
these are mankind, these heathen people, yes, Sam?
Well, they knew that he existed.
All right. They knew he existed, yes, Joanne?
Wouldn't an example be like the Indians didn't know God until the missionaries or whatever came here, the American Indians?
Yes.
And yet they had what they called the Holy Spirit, which was a God, right? Which was the one and only God. So they were seeing in nature that they couldn't make things, and there, I'm not saying that that's the true God, but that they were understanding that there was a God that created these things.
Now, I don't know if they had the Holy Spirit.
Well, they called it the Holy Spirit.
Should I refer to the...
I think they called it the Great Spirit.
Oh, the Great Spirit? Oh,
yeah, they called it that. They didn't call it necessarily God, but there was only one God at that time.
So they knew something above them.
Right. And I mean, we're not talking about the Greeks and the Romans that had numerous gods.
No.
They had just this one God.
Even though it was the wrong one, that straightened out.
Could it be the real God, but they didn't know it?
They didn't have understanding.
Yeah.
All right.
There is only one God.
Now, so God just, he wants them to live up to the light that they have. Then in verse 21, when they knew God, again, we mentioned that, these heathen people knew, in other words, had some relationship, what did they do with this God that they knew in verse 21?
They glorified him.
Now, what does it mean to glorify him not?
Did not acknowledge him.
Did not honor him. I lift him up. Was not exclusive with them. Did not honor him. Did not work as God, as deity. Neither were thankful. What does that mean?
Ungrateful.
Yes.
They were not grateful. Should they be grateful if they really knew the Lord?
Oh, yeah.
Should they be grateful that God created and be thankful he's made all these things? They weren't thankful. And then became vain. What does vain mean?
Selfish
is part
of it. Empty,
worthless,
futile.
Empty, worthless, what's that up like?
Futile.
Futile, okay, this is vain. Kinos in the Greek. Vain in their imaginations. What is an imagination?
Thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Ideas. See, they come from image. And it could be all of their images, all the things they could see. Imagination is a thing you can see. Either in your mind's eye, or you can see actually out there images. Imagination.
As an imagination.
Pardon me?
As an evolution of an imagination.
Yes, evolution is an imagination. Mm-hmm. That's right.
They were giving themselves credit for everything,
That's
rather
right.
than giving God the credit.
Yvonne?
I thought imagination was something you did in your mind and you didn't have it to look at.
Well, that's true. Imagination comes from the word image, and maybe a mental image could be a real image, but imagination is really images in the mind. You put them up in your mind to try to see. Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261, 9018. Give us a call or time or say hello. Glad to hear from you. Yeah, what?
Isn't there a Beatles song, something like Imagine?
Yes,
I'm not sure.
Imagine there's no God.
Okay. It's a very bad song, but yeah.
So images are not right because they're things that man has made up physically, but then there's imagination of the mind that's just as bad too. Now, it says in the book of, is it Corinthians, is it First Peter, bringing every thought into the captivity of Christ. I think they have met, was it?
Bringing every thought into obedience.
To obedience.
I'm not sure which.
And maybe it says, maybe imagination in that verse too, I'm not sure. So, every thought in the captivity of Christ. So, the vain imagination, their foolish heart was darkened. What is a foolish heart?
They're not knowledgeable.
Not knowledgeable, all right. Well,
ungodly.
Tim?
Just one. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of God.
Good. That's the verse I was trying to casting down imaginations. Bring every thought into captivity.
2 Corinthians 10:5.
Thank you. I knew it was there, but didn't know how to put it in. And we're to cast out our imaginations that are contrary to the Word of God. Things in our minds, see, the images of our minds cast them out. A foolish heart again was what?
Stupid heart.
What does it say in Proverbs about the fool?
It's in his heart. They don't want to be corrected.
They don't want to be corrected. That's right. Now, what judge made a special holiday for the atheists? Remember that?
April 1st.
It was April 1st. Why did he make a fool? Why did he put that April 1st? Man,
it's their holiday.
It's their holiday because
the fool has said so they don't believe in God.
That's what the judge. That's true. Yeah, we had that in history. I don't know what judge it was. One of the states when they were so angry with Easter, angry at Christmas, angry for Christian holidays, said, "I'll make one for you." And that's what he did.
Some new invention, right?
Well, that's what some drug made, some one of the states. A couple months ago, I saw that in the ad. I mentioned, don't know exactly what state it was, but he did. Not too, a couple months ago, not too long ago.
It was on our literature rack last year.
Yes, it was last year, Bill. Okay, mm-hmm. He remembers the year. I don't remember the month, the name, but one squeak. That's an interesting thing. So, foolish heart. Now, what is the difference between a foolish heart and a foolish head? Is there a difference? Are they the same?
Well, with the heart, it's trust.
Heart, that's trust?
Yeah.
What about the head? Foolish head? Which is worse, or are they both the same? Foolish head, foolish heart?
Two different
heart.
Things.
I think it goes into the head and into the heart.
What is it?
Goes into the head and
right.
Into the heart.
Or, when did the Lord Jesus say all the evil things come from what? Foolish head?
The heart.
The heart. All these evil things come from the heart.
Defile all the issues, yeah.
All the, out of the heart, the issues of yeah. Life. And, but once the heart is defiled and foolish, what does that do to the head?
It does the same thing.
The same thing. I mean, if your heart is foolish, it's going to go up 16 inches, 18 inches, whatever. It doesn't take long. So their fools are darkened. What does that mean? Darkened.
Yeah.
Blinded.
Yeah.
Sinful.
Yeah.
Wicked. Evil. In other words, absolutely they can't. Once the heart is defiled, then the whole thing just lights out. Just light all the lights out. Just back darkness and blindness. Now let's read verse 22, 23, and 24 together. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. All right, verse 22, professing themselves. What does that mean, professing? Claiming?
Believing themselves.
Believing themselves, all right. Professing to be wise. What is it?
What's
it?
What they say.
What they say. What they think, believe. To be wise. What does that mean? What if you profess yourself to be wise? What does that make you?
A fool.
Is there such thing as a wise fool?
Yes.
Yeah.
What is the Latin for the second year of high school?
Sophomoros.
Wise fool. Sophos, wise, moros, fool. Sophomore is supposed to be wise fool. I don't know whether that's true or not. Not all sophomores are wise fools. But the profession themselves to be wise. Why did they think they were wise, these heathen people?
Because they knew better than God.
Better than God, and they didn't have to worship him, and their imagination was taking over. And they became fools. What does that mean? They became fools.
They were wrong.
They were wrong. And they professed themselves wise, but they're fools. Does everyone... What is it?
Unbelievers.
Unbelievers. Is that
Tammy? Well, from the previous verse, they turned their back on God altogether.
All right. Okay.
I mean, basically, he didn't exist because mm-hmm. they didn't want to think of him.
Who is the person to determine whether a person is a fool or wise?
God
himself. By man's standards, they may be wise. According to the standards of people, they may not be fools, but when God looks down, he's the one that determines. Now, who knows better the hearts of people, what they are, God or people?
God
himself, he knows. What is that attribute called?
Omniscience.
Omniscience, all-knowing. He knows everything, the heart. Does he know even our thoughts before we speak? Yes. Does he know our thoughts whether we speak or not?
Yeah.
That's right. And so all of our ways are known by him. So they became fools. I was thinking the book of Proverbs says, when a wise man and a fool argue or speak up, there's no peace. Something like that. Remember that? When a wise man and a fool, there's no let up. You just can't... They argue back and forth and it doesn't lead anywhere, does it? But professions as wise became fools. Then in verse 23, what did these fools then do? They changed. What did they change?
Glory of God. Glory.
What would be the glory of God that they're changing? What would be some of the things that would fill that picture of the glory of God that they want to change?
The word of God.
It would be the word of God. What else?
It would be us. So therefore, we're changing us. In
all right. What else? What else was glory?
Creation glory.
Creation is glory. Why wasn't it? And changing the whole creation. That's the glory of God, isn't it? Remember what the psalm said? The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showed his handiwork. So they changed the glory of God. All this creation, they think they did themselves, they didn't want to believe it, of the uncorruptible God. What does uncorruptible mean?
Perfect.
Can't corrupt. What do our bodies do when they die? They decay, they corrupt. When the rapture takes place of genuine saved Christians, what will be true of those bodies that have been corrupted in the graves? That are Christians. They'll be changed into what? Incorruptible bodies. That's right. So, those that are for saving, if they're living in the rapture takes place, they're genuinely saved. Our mortal, subject to death bodies, we change into immortality, not ever dying again. But the corruptible in the grave will be changed into incorruptible. How do we see what we got here? Yes, Rob from Chicago.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Pastor. Was the best you were thinking of, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding.
Very good. What's that? What's the quote on that, Mark? I mean, Rob?
That's Proverbs 17:28.
Good.
And that's probably where the man got the saying, it's best to remain silent. And
yes, that's a good quote.
And open your mouth and remove that.
Yeah, that's right. Read that verse again for us, Rob, please.
Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding.
Good. Thanks a lot, Rob.
Keep my mouth shut from now.
Let's wave to Rob in Chicago. Rob Winograd. Thank you, Rob. Very good. He that holds his peace, a man of understanding. That you say, that's where that proverb came. Probably from Abraham Lincoln or whoever it was. Remember what it said? Better to be silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all possible doubt. So as Rob says, we'll just keep our mouth shut. Here I am talking, so I should shut up. All right. Change uncorruptible God. Now, what does it mean God cannot be corrupted? What does that mean? What is it?
Defiled.
Defiled, all right, that's right.
Perfect.
Will he ever pass away?
No.
No.
What are his attributes that show he will not pass away? What is one attribute called?
Mm-hmm.
Eternal. It's something eternal. How about the past? Eternity past. Was he there?
Yeah.
Eternity future, will he be there?
Yeah.
See, so he's uncorrupted. He will not change and he will not corrupt. He will not pass away. This world will pass away, but he will not. Uncorruptible, but change the image of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man. What is an image again? Image?
Could be anything.
Could be anything.
Picture.
But what is it?
Idol.
Could be an idol. But image itself, that's right.
It's something we see.
Something that can be seen with the eye. That's an image, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether it's a Roman Catholic image or the saints, the idols that they have in the churches or whatever it may be, things that can be seen through an image. Now, we have our IDs, do we not? And our driver's license, they got to show that when you take a plane somewhere. Give me your ID. That picture you, see, they're images. But we're not talking about little simple pictures. This image is not only a picture, but what else?
It's
godlike. It could be something that is molded and shaped and so they can see. Not a picture. What is it?
A graven or molten
image. Something they call God. Now, what are the American Indians, what sort of images do they have?
What is it?
The American Indians, what sort of image do they worship?
Oh, they had the
totem poles. That's right. What sort of images do the Roman Catholic Church have?
Mother Mary.
Saints, Mother Mary, statues, different things. Now, which one has the more power, or does neither of them have the totem pole or the image of Mary? No power.
I suppose if you're thinking about it as far as how much energy, if you were able to release all the energy in the atoms, then whichever one has more atoms.
More atoms, okay. Looking at it that way, that's true. So, these images made. Now, let me ask you this. Can you make an image of someone like the Lord God who is invisible?
No.
Can you make it? You can't. So what did God the Father have to do to make us be able to see Him?
He sent His Son.
He sent His Son. Made the likeness of human beings. It says,
man was made in the image of God.
That was in the image of God. The Lord Jesus in 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh. Seen of men. Made out of the... So, manifest in the flesh. That's in John, I guess, isn't it? And great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh. That's 1 Timothy 3:16. But in John, in Hebrews, is that Hebrews?
John,
he was manifest in the flesh. Seen of men. Lift up into the world. That's another one. So different things. But one other verse it says... Christ in you, the hope of glory, that's one thing, but he also, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Yes, Hattie, go ahead.
1 Timothy 3:16.
Yes.
Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.
So God manifest in the flesh. See, so God the Son, he that seen me has seen the Father. See, in other words, the man Christ Jesus, God manifest in the flesh. And that's what the Father had to give us, his Son, to see perfect God, perfect in the flesh, perfect man, perfect God, because we couldn't see him in any other way. He had to be manifest. Yeah, Vaughn?
1 John 4:9. And this is manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live unto him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Yes, so God is manifest in his Son. Yes, 10.
And then Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law.
Yes, God sent forth his Son. Yes.
I know you told us this before, but what does propitiation mean?
Propitiation means satisfaction. God is satisfied with the sacrifice of his Son. The new versions take that word right out of there. And the other verses don't even have it, see. But his propitiation died for our sins, not for ours, for the sins of the whole world. God is satisfied. He's propitious with the death of his Son, sacrifice of his Son. Propitiation. Yeah, Vaughn?
1 John 5, 7, and 8. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three are three in one.
So they're manifested and they're given to us yet then.
Pastor, sending warm greetings to you and to all our BFT church family. Thank you very much for this morning's message and for this afternoon's Bible study. God bless and His love. Carl and Vicki, help.
Way over, Carl and Vicki, help. Way over the state of Maine. Way up in Maine. Thank you, Carl and Vicki. Appreciate that. The Lord is good to us. So, Father, in order for us to see what He was, who He was, He sent His Son, perfect God and perfect man. And He that has seen me has seen the Father. In other words, there's a God with us. Remember, Emmanuel. His nature we call Emmanuel. God with us. Emmanuel God. Em is with, U is you, us rather, and El is God. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. God with us. So then in verse 22, as we said, around 23, are we going to see 23, are we? 23,
yeah.
23, made Michael. And it's a birth. Change an image. Now, the corruptible man, there's two or three different things. What did he make the image of? First of all, what kind of image?
Man.
Man. I'll start with man. What's the second?
Third.
What's the third?
What's the fourth?
What's the fourth? All these different ways. It's a strange thing why they would make an image of this type of thing. First of all, yeah, Tammy?
Well, Buddha. He's a man.
Yeah, Buddha. This is a picture of a man, isn't it? Why would they have a picture of a man? Look what this guy. It's a creepy thing to see. These Buddhist people, Buddhists, when you go to a restaurant, there's an image of Buddha, like that he's their god. See? Anna.
Well, you think about all the Greco-Roman gods were made, like, essentially in the image of the Roman man, because if you look at their legends and their stories of their gods, like, their gods were, they're very wicked, like they're doing all kinds of things that men would do, and so they were making these gods after the image of man.
Uh-huh. Yeah, some of them had like half horse, half man.
Yes, you're right. Bill.
The Greeks had many gods too.
Yes.
Debated the Roman gods.
Yes.
I believe I said Greco-Roman gods.
They are
closely related.
Greco, get the Greco in there. All right.
Right.
So all these systems, like the horse god, all these different gods in the shape of people, men. Yes, ma'am?
On the street that we go down, that we, this crowd, we say mommy because of.
Oh yeah, the tight street.
So there's a gargoyle, or whatever you pronounce it, on one of those little houses.
Uh huh. That's sort of
is that a god? I don't know.
I suppose.
Seems like it.
No, they were like devils.
Like devils?
But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's up in that house. It's like an ordinary house. Small house. And there's a
garden. Yes. But of course, Zeus and Aphrodite and all these different people, that's all the humans. They're like people, aren't they? They look like people. They have mess about these people. They're made like the men. What about the birds? Do we have any bird gods that you know about?
The Egyptians had.
Egyptians, all right.
Had ones that were like birds.
Now, why would anybody worship a bird? I know some people like birds. They have a lot of birds. I won't mention any names.
My face getting red.
So why would people worship birds?
Because they're beautiful animals.
I know, that's one reason. But it's a strange thing. Little tiny birds.
Because
they're flying.
We
can't. Right,
they're a magnificent creation of God.
It's a creation of God. Yeah, Dan?
They made the image of the birds.
That's right.
Yeah, but some of they were gods, actually, weren't they? In Egypt?
They probably were gods.
Yeah.
Probably were gods. And then notice 4 foot of beasts. Who are those beasts?
Cows.
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 Cows. Cows.
Cows. Cows.
Cows.
Cows. Cows. Cows. Cows. Cows.
Cows. Cows. Cows. Cows. Cows.
Cows.
Cows. There's so these are Egypt.
In
Egypt. So
in India.
Yeah, there's lots of 4 foot beasts that they put images of and worship those 4 foot beasts. Strange. And then that last thing, creeping things. Who are those? What are they? Be?
Snakes.
Bugs. Are there some
like beetles?
Are there images of bugs in it?
Yeah.
cats and dogs
and
four Buddhists. Creepy things. Snakes.
Supposedly sacred too. Didn't they have a scarab or something?
Who was that?
The Egyptians. They had the scarab.
That could be. And when?
Yeah, I think we erased.
But go to the Israelites. What did they do with the serpent that was upon the pole that they look upon? They would be free of that terrible plague. What did they do with
it? Started worshiping. Destroyed it.
And what was it called? That's pretty close. Nehushtan. You got it almost. Nehushtan. They just started worshiping it. That's the pole that they just worshiped the four-footed beast. Terrible thing. Corruptible, uncorruptible God under images, and weren't thankful, and became vain in their imaginations, foolish heart with arrogance. Wherefore, what did God do in verse number 24? What is the man that gave them up? What's that mean? Turned away from them?
Quit on them.
Just let them be on their own. In other words, you can only lead people so far. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. And you can lead a kid to college, but you can't make them think. That's true. But these are just in this little limits. But they gave them up, just gave them over. What did they give them up to in verse 24? What did they take upon themselves? Uncleanness. What is uncleanness?
To do with lust and
sinful.
Dirty. Filthy. Lust. What is it?
Polluted.
Immoral, to the lusts of their own hearts. Lusts of their hearts. What would that include?
Homosexuality.
Yeah. What's that?
I'm sorry.
Oh.
I said cravings.
Cravings.
Fornication.
Fornication, adultery, all these thievery, murders, beheadings. I don't know what they did in those days, but John the Baptist this morning in our Bible reading was beheaded. John the Baptist. Remember? Why was he beheaded?
Because the king didn't like what he had to say.
It's Herodias, his daughter.
That's right.
Herodias was mad at him.
All right.
And Herodias told his daughter, "Look, the king's going to ask you. That's what the Herodias' daughter asked for. She asked for the head of John the Baptist because the mother was mad at him because he was speaking out against the divorce that she had."
That's right. And so he had his head in a basket.
Yeah.
Was he a basket?
It was on a platter.
Yeah, on a platter.
Charger.
But, what is it called?
It was a charger.
It's a charger, right there. But yes, Anna.
Yeah. All right. So this is 2 Kings 18, verse 4, and talking about Hezekiah. He removed the high places, and break the images, and cut down the groves, and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For in those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan.
Very good, thank you. That's in Hezekiah's day. Thank you for that verse, Yadan.
Here is Psalm 106, verse 17 and following. The earth opened up and swallowed up the Dathan, and covered up the company of Abiram, and the fire was kindled in their company, and the flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an oxen that eateth grass. They forgot God, their Savior, which God has done great things in Egypt.
Very good, Dan. What's the reference again?
Psalm 106. 17-22.
That's right, calf worship. Who instituted that in Israel? What was his name?
Aaron.
Out came this calf.
Yes. Now, what does that mean, out came this calf? What does that mean?
It just happened.
What really happened? What really took place?
He made it.
Then there were two people that followed Solomon. One was his son, one was his servant. What did the servant decide to do? What was the servant's name?
Jeroboam.
What was the son's name?
Rehoboam.
What did Jeroboam, what concoction did he make up?
He set up
calves.
Bethel and Dan.
Why did he set those calves up?
So the children of Israel would go
back to worship the Lord in Jerusalem, worship these calves. So there's your four-footed beast. That's another illustration. Very good. Mm-hmm. So the Nehushtan was a serpent and the calves that Dan mentioned and the said cattle too, I think, were four-footed beasts as well as this one. Yes, ma'am?
It has to be pointed out that in Egypt the god was a bull or something or other.
Yeah, there was a bull god.
Yeah, there was that. And that's why when they came but in the wilderness, that's why they made a calf. Because that's what they probably had worshipped at when they were the Egyptians.
Maybe. Yeah, Joanne?
You know, a lot of Jewish families won't have knickknacks, is what my mother would call them,
in
their home, because they would be animals or whatever, and that was to them a graven image. And therefore, they didn't, you know, like my mother had knickknacks in the house, and of course, we never worshipped them. But a lot of Jewish people that we would visit wouldn't have those type of things in their home.
Because they're idols.
Yes, because to them, they were idols, even though they didn't worship them. They didn't even want anything representing an idol in their home.
So that's interesting. Now, verse 24, they gave up to uncleanness the lust of their own hearts. What is the difference between the lust and man? I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's why the, just to go on further with that, the some groups, some Amish, and certain things, they don't have photographs, they don't have their dolls, don't have any eyes.
They don't have any eyes. Now, what's the difference between lusts of their hearts and lust of their minds? Is there a difference? And lust of their bodies? What's the difference? Is there a difference?
Yes.
What is the difference?
Your heart is your feelings, and, and your body is actually showing those feelings and doing things.
And the mind?
And the mind is in your, is your thoughts. You know, you can have evil thoughts, and that's just as bad as actually acting on them.
Yes, the Lord Jesus talked about adultery, and he said, he that looketh on a woman with lust after her. See, that's the lust, not just plain looking after her, but the lusting after her. That's where the sin is, like adultery. So, lust in their hearts. As we said, from within out of the heart of people come all these evil things. The Lord Jesus said that in his Gospels. Now, notice, after the uncleanness, after the lust of their own hearts, in verse 24, what else happened to them? What did they do? What happened?
They dishonored
their own bodies between themselves. How can people dishonor their bodies? What do you think that means?
Homosexuality is
homosexuality is dishonoring.
Even how they sex man and a woman if they're not married.
They're not married? It's dishonoring. Dishonoring their own bodies between themselves. So to take goes from the heart, if it's wicked and lustful, to the bodies. It can go to the body. It goes to the bodies between themselves. Now let's read verse 25, 26, and 27 again. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up with the vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one for another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. Alright, verse 25, there we're here. Change the truth of God into a lie. How did they accomplish that, do you think?
They said there is no God.
All right, so that's changing the truth of God. The truth of God, with all the creation, all the things they made, His glory, His wonder, they just changed it to a lie. They just dismissed it and worshipped and served who?
The creature.
Creature more than the creator. What does creature mean
themselves.
Versus creator?
Themselves.
All right, that's right. What is the difference between a creator and a creature?
One makes it and the other is the thing made from it, right?
So the creator makes a creature. You know what I mean? It makes it something that's created by the creation. So which should we worship? The creature or the creator?
Creator.
The creator, the one that made. Yeah, huh?
Well, a creature, don't you call animals and snakes a creature?
Yes, they've been
made.
Well, the creature, they've been, originally God created them and then they passed one to another by procreation, that they were procreated others passed down the line.
But a creature, sometimes they say a person's a creature too. I'm just trying to figure out what the word means.
Well, it means, yeah, by that time.
Can that kind of refer back to verse 23?
Sure.
With the idols that we made?
Could be.
The images?
Yeah, because those are creatures, aren't they? Birds and four-footed beasts and pigeons and men. They're created beings, which are creatures. What does it mean in first? You get this first, I think it's 2 Timothy 5. Yes, hello, Jacob from Texas. Jacob Gromer.
Yes, I'm Pastor. Wait, on that verse, let me turn the light on here. I have to wait a little.
But there'd be light.
Here it is. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever morning then? I heard a man say that postmodernism is that truth is created. Or these people have created their own truth instead of discovering God's truth. That we have a whole generation of postmodernism and lots of people, even Christians, are victims of it.
Yes, that's good. Thank you.
Sure, she loves you all, and I have to say I concur with them. And all y'all. Well, have a good day. God bless you.
Well, thank you very much. Let's wave to Jacob and his mother.
Dale.
Thank you. She loves us, and she's very glad. She's in the Wolf and Dan's class, the fundamentals of class, Dan. That's good. Pardon me?
Genesis class.
And Genesis also?
Genesis. They're both in Genesis.
Both in Genesis, okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure they're both in
Genesis. Okay, in Genesis, okay.
Genesis.
Jacob, I guess, in fundamentalism. The class in Genesis is on Tuesday, 4:30, and the other one, fundamentalism, Friday, 3 to 4:30. So you get on the internet if you can't come personally. So did a good job on both those classes. And they're being very widely viewed. Very widely viewed. People on the internet, sermonaudio.com, every single day we see how many views came in. And they're increasing all the time. His classes, Genesis and the History of Fundamentalism, far more views than any of our services here. Far more views.
Aww.
We're like, we have to get maybe 50 or 60 or 70, 80. He gets 115, 120. Last night, the other day, 134. See, many people viewing. What is all this about? Because it's different. People don't very often talk about Genesis, and they don't often talk about the History of Fundamentalism. So, very important. We appreciate those classes. Now, notice. And by the way, Bill, if you could pick up that thing back in the book rack on Ebola. Remember the first thing on Ebola, please, for me, and I appreciate it. Notice in verse, where we started with verse 25, verse of the creature. The creature is somebody that's been made by someone else. I was going to say in 2 Corinthians.
You were talking about Timothy.
Yeah, well, maybe it was Timothy. Here's the verse I want to quote in this point. We are a new creature. New creation.
Christ.
In Christ. What's that verse?
I used to say that all the time.
New creature.
You're not shown, but you're bought with a price.
Well,
therefore glorify your God.
No,
new creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are past, be all things are come. Where's that found? Where's that found?
In 1 Corinthians.
If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's it. It's not a new creation. But all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So God considers those that are genuinely born again and saved, they're new creatures, new creations. Not that God makes us physically, but in Christ, we're born again, we're new, have a new birth. And so that's what that means. So a creature is somebody or something that's the object of a creator.
But yes. The Antichrist, isn't he a creature?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
So it doesn't necessarily pertain to Christians.
No.
We're born again, we're new creatures.
Yeah, that's right. And some people talk about the creature from the Black Lagoon. Well, <didn't> I didn't.
Corinthians 5:17.
That's right.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, behold, all things are become new.
1 Corinthians 5:17, huh? Thank you. Mm-hmm. Couldn't remember the verse, but I remember what it said. All right. So, the creature, work to serve the creature more. Now, when somebody makes an idol, the man who makes it would be what? Well, that's true, but
he creates an image.
So what would he be called?
He's a creator.
He's a creator. The thing he makes is called what?
A creation.
Like a creation, a thing, like a creature. So isn't it strange that the creator of this object worships the thing he made? Strange. Mm-hmm. Instead of worshiping the Lord who made all of us. It's a strange parable. But they worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Who's the who go back to?
The creator.
The creator. Yeah. Blessed. Meaning what?
Sanctified,
happy, worshipful, honored, blessed forever. Then in verse 26, for this cause, what cause do you think that's going back to? For this cause.
Reason.
Because they changed the truth of God into a lie.
Probably because they changed the truth of God into a lie. That's one reason. This cause.
They changed the glory of the incorruptible God to an image.
To an image. All these things. They had a whole list of causes, didn't they? For this cause. In the previous verses, what did God do in verse 26?
Gave them up.
Now, what was the last time he did?
Over.
Gave them over. Similar, isn't it? Gave them up.
Gave verse 24, gave them up.
Gave them up, 24. All right, and this one is gave them up again. Later on, I've got gave them over. Again, what does gave them up mean?
They just let them be.
They let them be. Mm-hmm. See, when somebody wants to do something, God does not interfere and force them. That's a problem with the hyper-Calvinists, is it almost forced them to believe that they're elected. God, if you say God just knocked them over the head, strange. God does not force. Did he give Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden free moral agency?
Yes.
He did. Did he make them automatons?
No.
Did he make them machines? Could he have made them machines?
Yes.
Yes. Why did he make them free moral agency?
He gave worshipers.
He gave us free will.
Well, free will, and what's it then?
He wanted us to worship him freely.
Wants to worship him free because we chose to worship. That's the kind he wants. Free worship, accept his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Savior, freely worship him without being hit over the head. That's what he wants. Yes, Bill.
He wanted us to love him, and if you don't have a choice not to love, you can't choose to love.
That's a good point, Bill. That's right. He wants us to freely love our own selves. Nobody making us a force. It's just like when we do things for our friends and our loved ones, it's voluntary. Nobody hits over the head and forces us, although the government's trying to force us to do a lot of things. But it's freedom. It is a wonderful thing. So, for this cause, he gave them... Now, for this cause, he gave them up, as it mentions. What did he give them up to in verse 26? What is affections? What does that refer to?
Desires.
Okay, desires and feelings. It could be sexual. Desire. What's the vile part? What's
evil.
That? Evil. Mm-hmm. Very, very bad and wicked and dirty, filthy, vile affections. Now, this verse 26, what vile affection does he mention?
Homosexuality.
And what part, the women or the men homosexuality in verse 26? The women. Why does that mention the women's homosexuality? What does it say about them?
They changed their natural use to that which was against nature. Nature would be woman to man and man to woman.
That's right. And so they have women and women. What do they call these things now?
Lesbians.
Why is that term used? What happened on the Isle of Lesbos?
It was from the Greek Homer's, I think it's the Iliad, where the hero of the story is shipwrecked and lands on the Isle of Lesbos, and part of that island was run by women, and primarily there was men tried to stay away from there,
That's right.
Assumed that they were homosexuals.
Yes, that's right, Lesbos. It's from the Isle of Lesbos, where it's all total women lesbians. So that's where that word comes from, Lesbos, lesbian. Now, does our government frown on lesbianism?
No.
Does our government accept lesbianism?
Yes.
Is it right to accept lesbianism?
No.
Does the Bible frown on lesbianism?
Yes.
The Bible frowns on it. And what do we as Christians, what should we do when the government is contrary to our Bible?
Stick to the Bible. We have to pray for our government.
Yes, we pray for them. Do you think they're going to change?
No.
God will destroy those nations.
Yes. On the back of one of these things back there, the very back, we have harmful health risks of homosexual lifestyle. A number of statistics, 60% of young Americans living with HIV today are unaware they're affected. 36 million, the number of people who have died of AIDS. Homosexuals and bisexuals account for 75% of the syphilis cases. It's 78% of all new HIV infections are among males, primarily homosexuals. It's a terrible, terrible record with homosexual activity. I don't know about the lesbians. This is lesbians. Women working with women, contrary, leaving the natural use, that which is against nature. So the Bible is very clear what happened in the heathen lands. And this was centuries, thousands of years ago. And it's still here with us. Is it increasing or decreasing, lesbianism?
It's increasing.
Now that the government is with it and for it, and homosexual marriages are accepted in New Jersey and I don't know how many other states, 20 other, I forget how many other states. And are they giving freedom to those that are against the lesbians' activities?
No.
We have freedom to express ourselves? No. They were always talking about they didn't have any freedom. Now they control. So the people that are normal people are enslaved. And then in verse 27, what does this refer to?
Men
doing what?
Homosexuals.
Leaving the natural use of women. In other words, that's what did God create in the Garden of Eden, two men? Did he create two women?
Yeah.
Who did he create?
A man.
A man. From the man, he took woman. He had the natural use of the woman, and he said that he should be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Are two men going to replenish the earth? Are two women going to replenish the earth? No. See, this is completely, totally against the scriptures of all kinds. Burned in their lust, one toward another. I don't know how that can be. I just don't understand it. And I saw on TV, we were looking at some other thing, I don't know whether it was the news, whatever it was. Here was the very thing portrayed, a man wanting another man to have to sleep with. Horrible thing. There's no bounds. I don't know what they're trying to portray. Working that which is unseemly. What does unseemly mean? Unseemly. What is it?
Unthinkable.
Improper. Indecent. Completely unseemly. Receiving in themselves that recompense of their error. Recompense means what?
Repayment.
Okay. Error, which is meat. Meat meaning what?
Fit
and proprio. That's right. And what sort of recompense do these homosexuals have?
Eternal damnation.
What else?
Diseases.
What is it?
Diseases.
The HIV is just very prominent there. Life expectancy is down lower than the regular people. They have gay bowel syndrome, whatever. They have something in the mouth, which is bad. That's why the government will not accept any homosexual blood for blood transfusions. It's filthiness. And the judgment which is meet or fitting that they have lower, less life than the others. It's a terrible thing. Well, being so clear in the scriptures here, this first chapter of Romans, against lesbianism and against homosexual, male homosexuality, it's a sad thing, isn't it, that our country is just throwing that all away. And fact of the matter is, there are many nations that are against the homosexuals. We used to be against it. In other words, in the military, homosexuals, lesbians, out of here. That's it. Now, first door, last door, tell. Now, it's all fine. And so we're having people in the military be propositioned and raped by the homosexuals, just ordinary males, and it's a horrible thing. It's a corruption. The question is, what was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah?
Homosexuality.
Yeah.
Definitely. In fact, they knocked on the door. Remember those angels, and Abraham, and men of Lot's door, and these men of Sodom came knocking on the door. Maybe these men that we may know, homosexuals, right there. And the angels just wiped them out. But the point of it is, that was the sin And the question is, what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? They were destroyed. Who destroyed them?
God.
The question is, at what point will our nation and our whole world that's sympathetic with sodomy not be destroyed by the Lord? How long will it take? Do we have an answer to that? There's no answer. We don't know how long it takes. One day is with the Lord, 1,000 years, 1,000 years a day. We don't know.
But the cup gets full.
The cup gets full, and one day gets 10.
Well, God destroyed Sodom with some fire and brimstone, and the Lord's going to destroy the earth with fire.
Yes, that's right. So it'll be a similar destruction one of these days. I'm going to stop right here at this verse, and that's verse number 27. Let's begin, Lord willing, next Sunday on 26, 28. Do you have any other comments or questions before we close in?
God can forgive us, then. He can.
Yes.
People can confess and forgive and forsake.
Yes. Now, do some homosexuals forsake it and get back right? Yes, they do. Does our government approve of psychiatrists and doctors that want to help them to get back?
No.
They penalize anybody that tries to get a homosexual unhomosexualized. They're penalized by our government.
Put in jail.
Put in jail, that's horrible. Horrible. Other comments or questions they have?
But they're not allowed to say that it's wrong. That's what the problem is, right?
Yes.
They can't say that this is wrong.
In fact, as we said in the morning service, the last page of this one here, how many drink coffee at Starbucks? Anybody drink Starbucks coffee? Here's what the Starbucks president said, Harold Schultz. Anti-gay marriage Christians, he tells them to sell their shares in stock. They have nothing to do with it. Anti-gay marriage. Starbucks hates Christians and doesn't want your business. That's an article just the other week. No, the homosexual lifestyle.
They hate Christians, but somebody can't say they hate homosexuals.
That's right, they hate Christians, not homosexuals, you're right. But what do we know about that one organization, Chick-fil-A? What did they do about this thing? At first they stood up for it, didn't they? And what happened when they stood up against the homosexual?
Their sales went down.
Yeah, they were
poor.
They went up.
Now, the people came to support them. Now, presently, what is the position of the leader of Chick-fil-A?
The man died.
What is the position now?
I don't know.
Oh, he died. Everything's fine. In other words, they started out well, now they're just sort of knuckled up. Any other comments or questions before we go? Why did not the school is for a great prayer?